Before I begin this morning, I caught myself smiling after the call to worship. I love the Psalms, and the last couple of Psalms especially are Psalms I enjoy because they are high songs, high praise to God for God's glory and majesty in the heavens. And they're beautiful Psalms, and Psalm 148 is a favorite of mine. And I noticed as I read the reference, it says Psalm 184 verses 148. And if you notice that, there are only 150 psalms, so that was, I remember submitting it as 148. But I want to thank Emily. You will see when you receive the annual report, it is some substance, and she and I worked on that with others during the week to try to get all the edits correct, and so she gets high praise today for all that she's done. If you see her in the office, thank her for all that she does. The sermon for this morning is entitled, What to Stow and What to Throw. I'll explain that in the course of the message. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It is a reading concerning our treasures and some instruction that Jesus gives us about our possessions and about not worrying. Listen as I read God's holy word today to us from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in chapter 6 at verse 19. Jesus is teaching here and says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, open our minds and hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that now as your word has been read, and now as your word is to be proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you have to say to us today. This is our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, as we heard, and it points out to us that there are appropriate times or seasons for literally everything. The writer, if you look closely, and I had to count several times because it's difficult to count pairs, there are 14 pairs of such seasons that are listed here. 14. And among those pairs of actions or times that are mentioned, for instance, it is mentioned there is a time, a right time to be born and a right time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest what is planted, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And among all those that are mentioned, this one jumped out at me recently, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. The one that jumped out is a time to keep and a time to throw away. Now, this is something that I have learned as your pastor. If I haven't learned anything, I've learned this one. And Susan, I think I helped you learn to teach me this. And you did as well from all the stuff that I see you donating and organizing and spending time doing. It takes a lot of work each and every year in that annual garage sale. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away. I'm glad I've learned something from all these years. I was joking with Emily and Stephanie this week about the sermon title, and at one point it just was what to hold on to. And I thought, no, that doesn't work. All these times and seasons in Ecclesiastes, they come in pairs, and so the sermon should be a pair. And so I came up with what to stow and what to throw. And so forgive me, but that's how I came to this point this morning. I mentioned to some this week that after today's sermon, some of you may say to me, you should have preached that sermon before the garage sale. I have learned timing is everything. And there is always next year. And if I had preached that sermon several weeks ago, I could have been erroneously credited for such a huge success just because of the sermon. And that would be wrong. You did it. Praise be to God. God is always good. That was on the sign the week after. And God is good. Psalm 148. Well, thank you for your good and faithful efforts through all these years in that annual garage sale. And so I'm preaching today from what I've learned. What I don't want to do is cause family arguments this morning, or arguments between those you have relations with, your friends, your relational circles. You know who is in your relational circle, and perhaps you know in that circle someone who saves everything. Do you know someone like that? No matter what, they pull it out of the garbage. You can't throw that away. I have that in my household. My wife Joyce is an artist, and she uses all sorts of things, and she recycles. I have a friend who collects newspapers. Not so many anymore, because he can't find but a Tampa Bay Times that's printed but Wednesday and Sunday. But he collects them, and he can't stand to throw any of them away for fear he might need to go back and read something from last week that he hears about but he missed. And he is a hoarder, there's no doubt. You should see his garage, you should see one of his bedrooms. They're full of papers of some sort. Did you know, or have you ever seen one of those TV programs on hoarding? Have you seen that? It's very popular. Perhaps you have turned someone in from your household that should be on the show. But I don't want to cause fighting this morning. But perhaps you live with someone who's a thrower. Have you ever had to go to the front door and retrieve a pair of your favorite shoes because they were going out to Goodwill? Have you ever done that? I've done that. I have a shirt. I have a t-shirt. It's a gray t-shirt. I bought it years ago. It literally has holes under the arms and several other places. It is one of my favorite nightshirts. And Joyce continually says to me, I'm going to throw that away the next time I wash it. I washed that shirt myself. But maybe some of you live with a tosser. I was born in 1960, and I was flattered this morning. Someone told me, well, you look young to me, but everybody looks young to me because I'm 75. It's all in perspective, isn't it? There's a time for everything. But in 1960, growing up as a boy, I remember my dad would take my older brother and I to the local country store. Now, I tell these stories to my younger brother, Danny, who's 10 years my junior. I tell him these stories, and he says to me, I never got to do that. I said, well, you were born too late. My older brother and I did everything together, and he was just 2 years from me, a little older than I. But Dad would take us to this small country store. Later, it was a pharmacy, and he would get, at that pharmacy even, they had bread and eggs, and he would shop a little, and my brother and I, older brother, we would get baseball cards, the little packages of baseball cards. Remember those? They had a stick of gum inside of the package, and it was just awful gum. It had this powdery sugar on top of it, and sometimes it was so brittle it would break apart a million pieces. If you chewed it long enough, it seemed like gum. If you left it in the car, it was much better after an hour or so. I remember them. We would also buy comic books at the pharmacy, lots of comic books. I had, after my teenage years, bags and bags, grocery bags, full of baseball cards and full of comic books in my closet, so much so that only the clothes could hang. Nothing else could go. The shoes had to go outside the closet. I was a hoarder early in life. I've reformed since then. But I remember coming home after my first year in college, I believe, and I asked my mother, where are all my bags of baseball cards and comic books? And she said, well, she said, there's one bag of comic books in the attic and one bag of baseball cards. The rest of them I gave to Goodwill. I almost dropped out of college that summer. I was in shock. I think out of guilt, by the time I graduated college, my mother had taken that one box that she had saved, and she put them all in plastic, and she priced them for me in 1983. In 1983, this particular Superman was worth $2.50. Here's the Green Lantern and the Green Arrow. You have to have Flash. Here's a Superman with Superdog. And Superdog had a name, and the name was Crypto. That one doesn't have a price on it, but it was bought at 25 cents. Finally, I'll skip to the end. I'm stretching to the annual meeting. This was the third issue of Star Wars. This came out in 1977, the movie in 1978. And this one in 1983 was valued at $5. I plan to look it up this afternoon. It's not going to the garage sale next year. The point being, there are times, would you agree with this, when it's right and it's good to hang on to some stuff. There are times. And then there are times, there are, when it's time to let things go and to throw things out. A lot of things which are perfectly usable could stay with us a longer period of time versus just throwing them out. I heard this week on National Public Radio, perhaps you heard it as well, it was a story about fix-it clubs that are emerging in our nation. Fix-it clubs, there's some companies that fix things so they're obsolete, so you can't repair them and you have to throw them away, and I guess there's some value in that as a capitalist nation where we buy again the same thing when the other wears out. But these clubs, they meet in public libraries from time to time. They have an online presence. They encourage you to bring things when they meet at the library, and they help you to have confidence to fix that lamp or to fix this or that, or to help you to know where to go and buy the parts. And then you can go online and they'll help you to fix it and walk you through the whole process. Fix-it clubs, I never knew they had fix-it clubs. The point being, oftentimes things can be fixed. But we do get wasteful. In saying this, I think most of us stress over getting rid of things. There was a woman that came to me after the first service, and she said, I take things I'm getting rid of, and I put them on the washing machine, and they stay there for a while, and then they go to the garage, and if they stay there long enough, then they go to the trunk of my car. And she said, I'll have you know, I had one of those old chalkboards that my mother had given me when I was a little girl, and I brought it down to give to the garage sale, and I gave everything else I had brought, but I took back the chalkboard. I took it home. I may bring it next year, but I'm enjoying that chalkboard one more year. There is a time for everything. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away. It was Susie Orman. You may know that name. She is the financial advisor who's quite popular. She encourages people to go through their closets in their home, and everything you have not worn or used in the past year, she encourages you to get rid of it. You should think about that for next January. But her point is, we spend so much time organizing, cleaning, cataloging, taking care of stuff. And there comes a point, does there not, when we have so many things that the things control us. We do like to hold on to things that have some sentimental value. This is particularly true of heirlooms, or things we were given when we were young. I still have in my office at home the Charlie McCarthy puppet doll, the ventriloquist doll, sitting behind me. My mother gave that to me when I was in the second grade. I have yet to throw it away, but he sits there in his black tuxedo staring at me. Why do I keep it? On the other hand, I hear from so many people, especially when you are moving from one home to another, perhaps when you are retiring or moving into one of those very special places with all the activities and friends in your later years. And I find people tell me that as they get older and they move from one place to the other, they find it's best to cut way down on keeping and to do more throwing. As the years go by, it does seem it's time to toss or throw things away rather than to hold on to so much. I encourage you to reflect on that this week. But what I want to do today in the time I have remaining is to reflect not so much on material things that we've dwelt on thus far, but to talk about how this applies to the spiritual life. How does it apply to keep or to throw away to the spiritual life? Let me mention a few things to you this morning that you can reflect on again this week and in the coming days. First, there is a time to get rid of and throw out regrets. And there is a time then to hold on to God's forgiveness for them. There are some people who just stew over mistakes they have made. They have regrets and they live through them again and again and can't seem to get rid of them. There are people here in this church, you're sensitive people, and I know many of you treasure that time we have the prayer of confession in our traditional service here. But I find not so many of you listen to the assurance of pardon. Perhaps you are here this morning and you have a sadness about something yesterday, a possibility perhaps that was missed, or something that was neglected. If you do remember, it was the poet Whittier who had these words. He wrote, "For all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest is what might have been." Don't get stuck in what you didn't do and what might have been, or travel too far down that fork in the road that you didn't take. The message you see today is, don't hold on to the sins of the past. They can destroy your happiness. They can destroy the present moment. They will rob you of your joy in life if you allow them to. In other words, turn them over to God, and God will forgive and remember them no more. It's like one pastor said, it is not our business to remember what God has already forgotten. Or like the country preacher said, when we pray the prayer of confession, it's like God takes all of our failures and all of our sins and throws them into a vast abyss of an ocean and puts up a sign that says, no fishing. And so I'm saying this morning, whatever it takes for you to visualize the dumping, the throwing away of regrets, do it. Perhaps you need to write it down and then throw it away, tear it up, put it in an ashtray, put it in the fireplace and burn it. Throw it away. And then when you do that, stand on the promise of God that says, I can make all things new. God's love and forgiveness is forever. Well, here's a second spiritual matter. Abandon your anxieties about the future. Ah, that's so easy said. Abandon your anxieties about the future and hold on to your goals, your hopes, and your dreams. Notice that's another pairing. As we look ahead, even in the world this year, we stare at somewhat of an uncertain economy. The price of orange juice is going up. An uncertain stock market, perhaps a recession later in the year, we're told, perhaps not. Perhaps an escalating war in the Ukraine. Where will that lead? The price is going up on so many things. Where does it level off? All of which is to say, it's easy to get nervous about the future. I remember my parents let my older brother and I stay up. My younger brother never got that privilege. He was born too late, 10 years too late. But we were allowed to stay up and watch The Late Show and Johnny Carson. And after that, it was off to bed. But I remember someone had shared something that had happened to them, and it wasn't a positive thing. And Johnny Carson said jokingly, you know that light at the end of the tunnel that people often say they see? It could be a train heading in your direction. Have you ever felt that way? I have. Over and over again in life, I've had that experience. And still, the fact is that our nervousness, our anxiety, won't change what the future has in store, will it? As Jesus said, let today's trouble be enough for today. Much of what we fear will never happen. I mentioned last Sunday that I was having a routine gastrointestinal procedure, and there was a lot of laughter in that announcement. I was caught off guard by that. I shared that simply to say it's important to have certain procedures on a regular basis to ensure that we're as healthy as we can be and to catch things before they get too late. But anyway, there was a lot of humor, and so I seemed to enjoy that moment. The next day, I was lying in pre-op on Monday for the procedure. You know, they pull that curtain. They tell you to take off all of your clothes and to put on this gown that doesn't have a way to tie it. And I got in the bed really quick. And then I heard the nurses going around the same questions. When's the last time you had something to drink, something to eat? And it just came to me. I had seen a movie recently where someone did not do well in surgery, and I thought, this is it. Something's going to go wrong with the anesthesia, or something, it's happened before, And I began to imagine there would be a small service here. Joyce would be looking for all of my passwords for my computer. I've written them down. I'll show them again to her again today. But I began to dwell on that too much. And then the words came to me lying there for that procedure, finally. Now we thank all our God with hearts and hands and voices. The words of the hymns of the church came to me in that moment. And then the whoa, whoa song we sang at the 9 o'clock service came to me. And I laughed. This procedure went fine. Everything was okay. I can't wait 5 years from now for another. But Tuesday morning, I was euphoric. I don't know, maybe it was all the toxins leaving the body, but I was simply euphoric. And I told my wife, Joyce, I feel just terrific. I've had so much energy all week long. So much of what we fear never happens. What lurks out there in the future is invisible to us. And maybe that's a good thing. But here's the point. All the reasons I give you this morning about worrying won't help unless we can have the power of prayer in our lives and we can give up that which is worrying us and turn our future over to God. It's true that old saying, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, don't we? And so we have a choice. We can major in our fears or we can major in our goals and our hopes and our dreams. And Matthew's gospel again records the teachings of Jesus. Don't be anxious about the future, what you shall eat or drink or wear, but seek the kingdom of heaven first and his righteousness. You know, if you seek the will of God for your life, you will have less time worrying about the future. And finally, I encourage you as I close to give up those things that waste so much of your time. Think about time wasters this week. And instead, hold on to the powerful present that we have right in front of us. Don't ever just mark time or use the phrase, "What are you doing today? I'm just killing time, waiting." Never kill time. So much time is spent in postponing something we want to do or procrastinating, and if we wait too long, that golden opportunity may pass us by. It was Dr. Hartzell Wilson who said something that influenced me long ago. Once you hear it, it's hard to forget it. He wrote, "Today is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. But what I do today is important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day shall be gone forever, leaving in its place something that I have traded for it." What are you trading your time for? What are you trading your future for this morning? I urge you as persons and as Christians to throw away old regrets this morning and to hold on tight to God's grace and forgiveness. I encourage you to toss anxieties out about the future and hang on to your goals and dreams. And then get rid of habits which waste time and throw your arms around the precious present moments that you have. For there is a time for everything. What time is it for you to discard that which you should have let go long ago? What time is it? What might you fully embrace and hold on to? May it be a vital faith in Jesus Christ that you embrace, that gives you hope in the present and gives you strength in times of need. Let us pray. O Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, O Lord, forever. And may your glory, O God, fill the earth and our very lives. In Christ's name, amen.